The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Glory to God. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I will continue where from where we stopped. You see, on Sunday. Wait, I don't normally do this. Most times I do my series either only on as in all Sundays or all Thursdays. But now we've started something on Sunday. We're going to tie it up today on Thursday. It's on purpose. Because that is something else the Lord will have us start in February. Amen. And this will be the last service in January. Amen. Aren't you excited? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm talking about the anointing and the anointed. The anointing and the anointed. And I made some very strong points last week, or rather on Sunday. One of those things is that the anointing is the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I told you guys, that's why it would be wrong to say things like, the anointing is oil. I've taken time to explain to us time without number in this place that the anointing is not oil. Neither is the anointing handkerchief. And I said something last week, which I didn't let that get. I said I was going to get to where those things come in. You see, those things come in. Maybe let me just mention it. I didn't mention it when I was talking about the characters of the anointing last week. Those things happen because the anointing can be transferred. Do you get the point? You can transfer the anointing on something. You can place the anointed, which we saw last week, can transfer that anointing sometimes even on an inanimate object, and it will begin to work. And when it is working, it's not that object working anything, but that object in itself is nothing. What is at work is actually the anointing of the man of God. And one of the easiest ways to transfer the anointing, the one that you usually understand, is by words. For instance, if I come to this seat now, that is my seat. I can speak over the seat. And I say anybody that sits on you gets healed. Once you sit on this seat, you're going to get healed. And that will not be that this seat is now special, or that anywhere you see this kind of seat in the market, you should buy it because it's the healing seat. No. It just means I say that once you sit on this seat, you're going to get healed. I get the point? And so it doesn't mean this seat is anything special. And that's the thing about oil. The oil, there's nothing special about oil, nothing special about olive oil. In fact, the olive oil is as common as granite oil, or vegetable oil, or carrot oil. What are all the oils you know? Coconut oil. Ladies, praise God. Hallelujah. All those things you apply on your hair. You see, hair that will not grow, will not grow. I'm telling you. Amen. So all those things, these are just oils. And then you find out, but then, why is the olive oil popular, for instance? The olive oil is popular because in the Bible days, that was the oil they were using. And so when it was time to anoint people with oil, that was the common thing. They didn't have red oil. Can you see? And so they would speak over the oil and then it would work. And that's not because the oil is very powerful. It's because a man anointed, you get the point? That same oil that you poured on someone can be used to cook. That is why I don't totally criticize the use of anointed oil, but I will not use it in the church. The reason is this: if I go for an outside meeting, don't be surprised, you could see me, if they get oil and say use it, I'll use it. But why I don't use it here is I want to lead you. I want you to learn how to grow by the word of God. You get the point? How to need your healing and speak, because that's how healings happen. Even if I give it oil to carry home, that oil will be powerful because I spoke words over the oil. That's what I'm talking about. When I go to an outside to where they don't really have understanding, where all they want is what I can say, okay, get the oil, I'm going to speak over it and all that. But when I have to train you, I have to teach you how to speak the word of God for yourself. But a lot of people, because of this oil thing, they've deified the thing. They've deified it. And so if I want to go out, I'll get oil and pour myself, or drink it, or just touch myself with oil. Gradually, you start worshipping the oil without knowing. And before you know, you are worshipping the created more than the creator. Get a point? I worship the creature more than the creator. Because you are defining those things. So we don't, when you want to grow believers, you don't grow them with substance. For instance, handkerchiefs can, I've used and I still use handkerchiefs to minister to people. I can just say, take this, touch it, you're going to be well. You see, but when I want to train believers to grow, then you wouldn't see me use handkerchiefs to minister to them. Why? Some of them might build their life around that handkerchief. So if I can teach them how I got to make that handkerchief powerful, which is by the spoken word, I know what I'm talking about. They can operate the same thing without turning it into an idol. But that's why people come up with the issue of mantles. They say, I have a mantle. What is a mantle? I can come to this meeting and then I get handkerchiefs and I say, you guys are going to buy it for 1,000. And then buy it. I've prayed over it. Once you touch it, it will change your story. And you think it will not change your story. It will change your story. It will only because the mantle. You know why those things work faster sometimes? Do you know why? Because you are dealing with the human mind. And we as Africans, for instance, we are trained to believe things we can see. I get the point. If I lay my hand on someone and I say, as I've touched you, no demon can come near your dwelling place again. If he's not trained in the world, he will say, amen, no. But you see, when I take my handkerchief like 7, I say, hang it at every entrance in your house. No demons can enter. Naturally, he will believe the handkerchief is hanging. No demon. He will not find out that demons don't fear handkerchiefs. They fear the written word, the spoken word. When they see the handkerchief, they will run because there's a word over the handkerchief. Can you see the point? So people tend to believe those things easily. But I won't train you like that. Amen? So you can't come here and see oil. You can't see handkerchief. You can't see all those things here. You won't see it. Amen? Praise God. You won't see it. You can't see handkerchief, oil. Somebody's drinking oil. The other person is drinking water. Holy water, anointed water, anointing oil. What all those things? You won't see them here. Hallelujah. Well, if you want to use them, it's your business. Amen. But then when you begin to grow in the world, you will find out that most times, for instance, if you check throughout the book of Acts, I've done a teaching on the anointing oil, I can't remember. If you check throughout the book of Acts, you will never see that oil being used. Not one. Throughout the book of Acts, you never see it. The only mention of the oil in the epistles is James chapter 5, where James said, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them come and pray for him, anointing him with oil. Three things to note in that place. One is, he said, call for the elders of the church. Well, according to the way E.W. Kenyon put it, he said that automatically means the person that is sick is not an elder. It means you are possibly talking about a baby Christian. I get the point. And then secondly, he said, call for the elders of the church. He said, and secondly, that oil there would possibly be something for medicinal use, for medical use, I don't know. But even if it is not, you see the completion of that passage, he says, and the prayer of faith will what? Will heal the sick. So you find out, okay, it's on the screen already. He said, after in verse 15, after he said, anointing with the oil and all that, in verse 15, he said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So it tells you that actually, whether you anoint him with oil or not, what will definitely save him will be what? The prayer of faith. So the oil will not play any role. Why will the oil be needed? Maybe to help the young guy, you know, who doesn't understand some things about the supernatural. He wants, you know, we are coming from ATR, African Traditional Religion, and it's still in our mind. You get the point? Somehow we still believe, thank you. Somehow we still believe that we want to see physical things. And that's why I come to your house. It shouldn't be like that, but as the African man, if I come to your house and you invite me to come and pray, maybe you even gather your whole generation, and I just come and I walk around your house, I speak words, I say, this house is blessed, you guys are blessed, nothing goes wrong in this place, you are prospered, I just speak words, demons, keep off, this one. You see, you say amen, no, but it's not really move you. But then if you now invite me to your house, and I say, we don't come like that, too. You have to buy 7 packets of red candle, 7 candles of blue candle, and golden candle. And then after that, you're going to buy brooms, like 6 bundles of brooms, because you're going to sweep the devil away from this place. Then you get 5 cartons of anointing oil. And then I come, as I'm speaking in tongues, I give everybody broom. We are all sweeping. All sweeping. Every day morning. You see, by the time we are done with that exercise that night, in the next morning, I ask you, how was it? You say, man, it was powerful. So that's how our mind is. So we just tend to believe that oil is a physical thing. So I'll just call you and say, that is something the Lord is telling me about you. Get me 3 bottles of anointing oil. And I just pour. I say, the first one represents favor. I get the second one. I say, this one is prosperity. I start pouring it. And this one is protection. You see, you are just a native doctor gradually. I told the native doctor, say, take this ring. This ring is to sell market. Take this one. This one is, you know, that's what we'll do. But that's how our mind is trained to believe. You get the point? But the believer must live above those things. But we do not walk by sight. How do we walk? By faith. By faith. That when he says it, it is done. Whether they pour oil or anything. Amen. Okay. Are you ready? And so, one of the things I said last week, let me just remind you one of the things. One of the things I said last week is the fact that, you see, the Holy Ghost is anointing and every believer is anointed. And that's one thing I always wouldn't want you to forget. The fact that you are anointed and you are anointed as Sister Rose, while Sister Rose is anointed as Brother Mona, and everybody, we all are anointed. And so what we teach is not how to grow the anointing of God upon your life. What we rather teach is how to grow in the anointing. And so you find out you cannot, I told you something last week or on Sunday, everything that God does is perfect. You cannot improve on it. Anything God does is perfect. You can't improve on it. You see, for instance, God has given us his righteousness. That righteousness is a perfect righteousness. You cannot improve on that righteousness. You can only improve yourself in what God has given you. I give an example, one on Sunday. In Jude verse 20, our brother, the apostle Jude, was writing. He said, building up yourself on your most holy faith. And so he said, building up yourself. So he find out, he said, for you beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. You find out what you are building up is who? Yourself. You are not building up your most holy faith. You are building up yourself. I get the point. So that's why I told you during the retreat that the believer cannot have more faith than he already has. The believer can only learn to walk in the faith of God that is at work in him. That's something about the anointing. The believer can be more anointed than he is already. But you see, there are people that have gotten better in the flows with the anointing. That's the truth. And so now it looks like they are more anointed. But it's not really true. It's just because by some things we're going to look at today, some things we're going to study today, they have gotten better with the anointing. So it now looks like one person is more anointed than the other. Whereas in reality, we all are equally anointed. Some persons are just more mature. I tell you, so I'll give you an example. Give birth to a baby. As the baby is growing, you know, when you give birth to a baby, the baby has the potential to talk, true of us. Potential to talk, potential to see, potential to hear. You see? But then you find out that when you give birth to that baby, the baby might not start talking or hearing immediately. You get the point? But the potential is there. That baby is as human being as I am. But then the baby has to grow. Just like I used the DNA, for example, last Sunday. You cannot improve your DNA. Can you? You can't. Your DNA is your DNA. And so the baby might be small, but then the DNA is still there. It's still his DNA. He cannot improve on it, but he can grow. Hallelujah. Say this with me, say I'm anointed. Oh, come on, you don't like saying the meaning, say I'm anointed. Some of us have not learned how to behave in church. Maybe, and not even maybe, that's one series that we'll be bringing up in February. You get the point? The church, how to get the best out of church in our Thursday meetings. When I say talk, you talk. One of the ways to get the best out of church, especially when you're in church, in service like this, is to involve your 5 sense organs. I've taught you this a couple of times. Involve everything. If I say, that's why if I'm teaching, you should be writing. You get the point? That's why if I say talk, you should talk. That's why you should be looking at me. That's why I should not be preaching and looking at your phone, looking outside. Your eyes should be on me. You know what I'm saying? Everything should be there.
in church. And that's why even when you find out, when the Bible talks about worship, it tells you that in church we should lift up holy hands. In other words, God expects that when we are worshiping or something, every part of your being should be involved. You get the point? Some people in church are singing, so we lift up holy hands. Their hands are in their pocket. So we lift up holy hands. What? Okay, lift your hand. What's wrong with your hand? Let every part of you be involved. Hallelujah. You know, some people are sitting down and are singing, I stand in awe of you. And are sitting down. Stand up. What's wrong with your leg? Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is, you must respond. So when I say respond, it's not just for the purpose of calling your attention. It's so that you flow too. Like, if I say something and they say it, it's helping. For instance, there are things you should learn. If I am talking, and I'm preaching on righteousness, and I say, oh, I'm so righteous, you should respond to it and say, I'm so righteous. I get a point. That's how the flow is. If I'm preaching, I say, my God, I'm so anointed. You should shout them and say, I'm so anointed. You are not me, I'm not you. Speak for yourself. I get a point. And so, and it's one strong way to respond to church. You must be very active. And you know, confessions are powerful. Very powerful. You see, confessions are both when you are confessing faith and when you are confessing what has happened to us in Christ. All of them are powerful. Hallelujah. So once again, I'm anointed. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at, so I'm saying we are all anointed. And one of the things I want to show you is that we can actually make progress in our flow with the anointing. We can actually grow. One can actually grow in the anointing. Everything that is of God, I said, is perfect. But then, everything that is of God, you can get better in it. And that's the truth. You can get better with anything that is of God. For instance, I normally give that example. Everything you have, let me use the simplest of spiritual things, not simple, but then the most common around us, is tongues. You tell yourself the truth that with the day you start speaking in tongues, the flow is not as it is today, through of us. Everything is of God. So, you know, sometimes they start speaking in tongues, you don't even know what you're saying. Something is telling you, saying la 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 la. Somebody said la 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 la. Have you ever, they started speaking tongues, did you feel like you are talking nonsense? I thought they said, ah, let God not strike me, let in Jamaica not just get angry and say, see, who is this person speaking nonsense in this church? I'm going to strike you to death. Somebody met me recently and said, sir, I want to speak in tongues. I said, but I heard you speaking in tongues. See, it's not sounding like your own. You know? And I understand that. And sometimes when you start speaking in tongues, the first 3 minutes, you just keep quiet and start thinking about everything you have said in the 3 minutes. You're wondering, okay, kapo, shata, kala, toko, sata. You know, but you know, when you begin to grow in it, you that used to say la, 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 ta, 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 ta. Before you know, you now have different verbs and consonants and vowels in the thing. You now have, you can now make sentence in tongues. And you can get better with everything that is of the Spirit. And so the anointing of God, you can get better in it. You see, the healing anointing is inside of you, but you can get better with the healing anointing. That's the truth. The miraculous is there. You can get better in the miraculous. And that's my problem. That's why one reason why you should come to church and value spiritual growth. It's a pathing that where you were last. You know, what I tell you? You see, 2020, I said, always be moving forward. Remember I told you that? Let's not find you the same place where we saw you last year, where we are seeing you now. No. You must be making progress with the Spirit. And I'm talking to somebody by prophecy here, that some of you, when you got saved newly, you pursued spiritual things with every zeal and whatever in you. But at the time, you slack back. And where you are is where you stopped the last time. And that's a very terrible thing. You should always be making progress. People should never find you at the same spot two times. Let me get the point. You should be making progress. You should be that when someone hears you teach the word, and the person has heard you last week or last year, you should say, man, you got better at it. And I'm not talking about, there's a service we're going to do in this church. I don't know where we're going to do it. The normal Christian life. You know, because there are some things I talk about here. Some of you think, man, that's for pastors teaching the word. No, you see, teaching the word is for the normal Christian. You get the point? Ordinary Christians should teach the word. The miraculous is for the ordinary Christian. So what is the work of the pastor? I will tell you, the work of the pastor is to train the Christians to become ordinary. You understand? That's what you, it is. Prayer is the normal Christian life. Rejoicing in the Holy Ghost is not for pastor. It's our normal. Get the point. Have a new normal. You get the point? The new normal is to speak in tongues. The new normal. So it's not for pastors alone. It's not for pastors. So when I see, so you should always get better with the flow, with your flow in the anointing. That's what I told you last Sunday. You're anointed. The flow of the anointing is not just for pastors. Because the anointing was not given to pastors alone. The Bible said, he that has anointed us with you is God. In 1 John 2:27, he said, the anointing that you have received of the Holy One abides in you. So we all have the anointing of God living in us. And we must get better with the flow. And in the flow, you should never be. And that's why I said, you can get, I give you some examples. Some of them I pointed out to you last Sunday. One of them, if I, in Acts chapter 14, this is not a clear example of growth, but I'll use it. In Acts chapter 14, verse 8, the Bible tells us that Paul was preaching the gospel at Lystra, and then he saw a man that was crippled. See, that sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Look at how the Holy Ghost described this man, impotent, crippled from his womb, from mother's womb. He has never walked. Bible said the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that Paul was looking at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. And then in verse 10, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. That was the miraculous. You see, Paul saw the man minister to him. But then you will see Paul minister healing too, and the miraculous in another different way. By the time you get to Acts 19 and verse 11, you find that Paul had, let me not use the word graduate, but he has gotten better with spiritual flow, that he had to heal many people without having to talk to them. Look at this. He said, and God wrought special, see how the Holy Ghost puts it, special miracles by the hands of Paul. Special miracles. How did these special miracles come about? That from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them. This is a better flow. It doesn't mean he got more anointed, but he has gotten better with the flow. A lot of them, you know, when you begin to grow, you find out, you know, some of you are at the level where you just have to speak to someone, lay hands on the person will get well. You know, when you begin to get better with the flow, which I will show you how, when you begin to get better with the flow, you find out you can use your shadow. You get the point? You can use your shadow. You find out you can use your phone. You find out you can use your apron. You can say, I use that jacket, can't touch it, you'll be well. Is just getting better with the flow of the spirit. So Paul now started using his apron and his handkerchiefs. I don't get it. Are you know what I'm saying? Because if you don't get better with the flow of the spirit, you find out you can't minister to a lot of sick persons, for instance, in this about healing. If you just have to speak to people, pull them up, speak to people, pull them up. You see, when we release you to a crowd of 10,000 people to host a miracle service, you can't do anything there. You can't do anything there. But then, as you begin to get better with the flow, it's not the anointing increasing. You can get better in the flow of the spirit. For instance, what you call the word of knowledge. At first, when you start with the word of knowledge, you can just say, well, there is somebody here. But when you begin to get better, you can say there is somebody here. In fact, I'm talking about somebody on my right. In fact, I'm talking about a guy. In fact, I'm talking about someone that's between these. You can get better progressively with the flow of the spirit. And that's very true. You should never be at the same spot. And I'll show you how you're going to get better. I touched some of them last week. But before I get to that, there are three major things I've identified where you can see with signs that you're getting better in the flow of the anointing, or signs of growth. Things that you're going to see that will come as you begin to grow in the anointing. There are things you see in your life. You can begin to measure, am I growing in this anointing or not? One of them is confidence, increased confidence. When you begin to grow in the anointing, one of these is going to bring with me an increased confidence in the flow of the anointing. Increased confidence. In Acts chapter 3, you find Peter. He said, I don't need to show you, by listening to this story, you can measure the confidence. He said, see, for gold I don't have, such as I have, I give. In the name of, you see that confidence. When you begin to grow, you find out when you begin to practice speaking the anointing at first, you're trying to pray for someone and you're just wondering, okay, let's hope he gets well. But when you grow in that anointing, you are coming with all form of confidence that if I touch you, you're going to get well. You get the point? You see, when you start practicing, you know, I remember when I started practicing word of knowledge, I was
I came to a meeting and I said, there's a family here that has a case, has someone that is a lunatic. That's a case of a madness or insanity in the family. That I want to pray for you. And so let me tell you, I knew many things about that family. Many things. I knew, for instance, that the mad people in the family were just two. You get the point? I knew they were guys. I knew the other one was in Soyeni. I knew everything. But then, when I said that and she came out, I didn't go further. I didn't go further because I was wondering, okay, how am I sure? If I now say, I just prayed for her. So when I was going home with my friend, this many years ago, in 2009 or so, when I was walking home with my friends, I told them, I was Apostle Casey. I said, you see, you see that girl I prayed for? He said, yes. I said, there were actually two in the family. He now laughed. He said, why didn't you say it? I just kept quiet. So the program was 2 days. The next day I went back, I called the girl. I said, how many are there in your family that have that issue? She said, two. I turned and looked at my friend. He now laughed and I started flowing again. And I could find out, but then why didn't I have that confidence today? It's just growth. As I began to grow, so that's why you ask yourself, how come these guys are so confident that somebody here is wearing a blue shirt, this person is this? They know it's by growth. Growth will bring confidence in the operation of that gift. I get what I'm saying? Growth will bring confidence in the operation of that gift. That's first thing you notice to grow in your flow of the anointing. Second thing you will notice, second sign of growth in the anointing is what I call increased consciousness. You become more conscious of certain things. One of the things you become more conscious of, you begin to grow. You become more conscious of the power that is at work in you. That's first thing. You become more conscious. When you are growing, you become, you know, now one of the signs that you're growing in the anointing is that you know how anointed you are. It's not just like by saying it, I'm anointed. Mm-mm. You know how anointed you are as you begin to grow in the anointing. Be so convinced. One sign, you see what Peter said, such as I have. He knew I have the miraculous working in me. He knew it. And you see, that it doesn't come by forming whatever. Jesus will say, power has left me. You see, some men will tell you, if I touch you, your finance will change. They're not bragging. When you begin to grow in the anointing, it will come with consciousness of what is at work in you. Like I was telling you last Sunday, somebody was listening to me last Sunday, I said, ah, this guy here is bragging. No, see, there are some things that have passed bragging. You know, somebody was testifying to me today, and I was talking about deafness. Someone was testifying to me today of how I ministered to her. I'll take on to this story later. How I ministered to her, you know, and she got well, that she had an issue with her ear. Her ear was blocked and felt serious heaviness. She told me how much she has spent. And when she was telling me the story, the scripture that came to my head was the woman of the issue of blood. The Bible says that she has spent all her money on physicians. She was telling me 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 8,000. He said, that same week you came to pray for me, I spent another 4,000. And I'm telling you a story for a reason. He said, and it wasn't in the program. I just came, I just told you about it. And you prayed for me. And you told me you will be well. And you will not just be well. There will be no sign that it ever happened to you. And she said, amen. She said it was after 1 month that she told herself, that is almost happy. She, from that day, she forgot about the sickness. To remember it, after 1 month, there is no more happening. So, you know, now look at what I'm telling you this story. Even as I'm talking to you, I can't even remember this incident. I get the point. I can't remember it at all. I can't remember that this never happened. I can't even, I'm still doubting whether this thing happened. Just that what she was saying was true. You came to so place, you wonder so three. I say, okay. I can't remember that ever happened. I told her I can't remember. She said, it happened. I said, wait, I don't need to remember. You're the one that needs to remember. That's the truth. Just like when I give a prophetic, I don't need to remember it. You're the one that needs it. And what led me to that? That tells you, that thing I told her, I didn't really take it that serious. That's the truth. But then I am so conscious of the fact that there is no deaf person I touch that will not be healed. It's not possible. And it's a sign of growth. Initially, when I started flowing, praying for the deaf, it was a case of, you know, there was still this shakiness in my heart. But now if I go for any miracle meeting and I'm not seeing as much healing as I want, I start with the deaf, there are 25, all of them will be healed. If there are 200, I'm not telling you, but point is, when you begin to grow in it, just like, talk of
speaking words. You know, there are things that you just know they would happen. And it comes by. So first thing you notice is when you begin to grow in the anointing, there will be increased consciousness, first of all, of the power that is at work in you. Sometimes that increased consciousness will manifest in you knowing, how do I explain this now so that you understand it? The flow that is present now. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I've thought about spirit within and spirit upon. The flow that is present. Just like I was mentioning last one, I told you, I sense strongly the healing anointing in this place. We've always had the healing anointing here. But then there was a... I'm talking about... The example you find now is I think Luke 5:17 or so. I said Jesus was preaching somewhere and the power of God was present to heal. Look at it. He's getting the power. On a certain day he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and whatever, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. They knew there was this. How did the writer know the power of God was present to heal? Well, you find that later they now brought in somebody that was sick and the person got well. But the power of God, and Jesus was conscious of it. As you begin to grow, you can begin to sense, okay, this is now here. You know, you learn this a lot from Brother Hagin. He will tell you that you get to some meetings, you just say, you know, the anointing here is for this and for this and for that. You get the point. It doesn't mean that's the only thing that came for the meeting. You get the point? But that's the power that is in operation in this meeting now. You understand what I'm talking about? If you don't get it, just leave it. One day you will. Then... As you begin to grow in consciousness, all of that consciousness that will happen to you will be, I said it last Sunday, you will grow to the point that you'll be able to know when the anointing has accomplished something. You will know when the anointing has accomplished something. Like I showed an example last Sunday in Mark 5, verse 31. You will know that the anointing has worked something. For instance, the lady I prayed for last Sunday, the lady I touched her, yeah, I just spoke, I said, fine, it's done. I didn't need to, you know, so many of us, because in a way you are still learning to flow with the anointing, you will depend, let me talk about healing, you will depend on the person to know what has happened. You pray for the sick, you want the person to say, it's no more paining me to know. But when you begin to grow in the anointing, when you pray, you know that something, you don't even need to see something. Look at this, he said, disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou who touched me. You know this story? Jesus said, who touched me? He said, what happened? He said, power has gone out. How did he know? He knew, you know, that is growth in the anointing. Something just happened. That's why you can see as you begin to grow. You are just minister. I just say, someone just got healed of a chest pain by this side. You just know that something moved from me. Sometimes if I'm ministering like this and somebody is pulling something from my inside, I used to know. Somebody used to pull something. Yeah, sometimes I was in a meeting ministering and somebody was around the crowd. All her prayer was, Father, let this man identify me by prophecy. I looked at her and said, you want me to identify you by prophecy? He said, yes. I said, come, I've identified you. You know, somehow you just like somebody else got healed behind. You know, you see it in some meetings. He said, something is happening. You watch maybe Ben Hinn's meeting. He said, down the wheelchair session there, something is happening. And when you are a trained usher in church, once pastor starts talking like that, start running to that side. You get the point? Something is happening, just go and stand there. Because that thing can be anything. Person can live, can rise up and fall down. Anything can happen. But Jesus knew. He said power. And what I'm trying to show you is, he did not see the woman get healed. You get the point? It's a sign of growth in the anointing. He didn't see the woman get healed. You just know that something has happened. You know, and it's not just a case of you are trying to run away from praying for the sick. You just pray for the person and say, it's well, it's done. I don't want to test the healing. I'm talking about when you are so sure, I don't need to test this, it's done. You get the point? And you find that also, look at Luke 8, sorry, 1 Kings now, 18 verse 44. You see, the man Elijah, when he was praying for rain, he prayed. And look at this, and it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, that the servant he was sending, he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get it down. The rain, the rain will not stop you. You notice, he was praying for rain. He told the guy, go and check. The guy came and said, I'm seeing something like a man's hand. There is nothing connecting a man's hand and rain. But being someone that is trained in the anointing, he said, well, that means rain is coming. Tell Ahab to start running. He knew something has moved. You get the point? But when you begin to get more skillful in your flow of the anointing, especially the miraculous, you will be able to know. Not as I pray for people at home. I pray for them at home. I've repented. I'm now a better Christian. Those days, I used to pray for people because I used to, you know, one of the ways, if this is not too perfect, one of the ways I grew in the anointing was I was testing the anointing. Sometimes I will pray for people. I say, Lord, I'm praying for Angel now. May the power of God come upon her in her room and let her fall down now under the power. And I'm telling you, I did it. And after 3 minutes, I'll call her and say, what just happened to you? Since I just fell down, she just speaking in tongues. I said, yes. I'll pick another person. You know, it's like we have changed though. God has blessed us. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. You can pray for people and where they, you just know. So I'm praying for someone, maybe someone has a result issue. And I just, that's why some of you get some tests from me. I just send you a text. Send the test. It's done. That is not a statement of faith. I know the anointing has worked something somewhere. As we begin to grow in it, something is working. I get what I'm saying. You will know consciousness of the fact that see, something is happening. Something just happened right now. Get the point? Something just happened right now. You just know that something has just happened right now. Hallelujah. Amen. So you get better with it. Then, of course, the next thing you're going to notice as you begin to grow in your flow of the anointing, another sign you will see will be more skillfulness. You become more skillful in it. Somehow you know what to do. You find out that in the healing ministry of Jesus, for instance, you will find him do different things at different times when faced with different situations. For instance, there are some sick people he met. A sick person will meet, he will mix sand and just touch the person. The other person he met, he said, see, I don't need to pray for you. Go and show yourself to the priest. I think that's let's look at it. That's Luke 17 verse 12. We look at Luke 17, we look at Mark 5. Luke 17 verse 12, Jesus said, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And he came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Simple. He didn't have the priest. They go and do this. How did he know that if they go to show themselves to the priest, you get the point that they're going to get well? Well, get the point. In Mark 5 verse 39, you see him do something else. So when he was coming, he said unto them. Now this one is very key. And I picked this for a reason. When he was coming, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but he came to raise the dead. Hallelujah. This will help you do. Amen. He came to raise the dead. He said, they laughed him to scorn. So when the Bible said they laughed him to scorn, what does this tell you? Unbelief all over the place. So picture a place where someone just died and the crowd that will gather, all of them started laughing. Now, an unskillful man in the anointing would have just said, well, you guys should be laughing and watch how the power of God will move. He will go there and the anointing will not move. And I will tell you why. Look at what happened. But when he had put them all out, what did he do? He sent them away. That skill in the anointing, why did he send them away? There was so much unbelief in the room. If he had kept them in that room, nothing would happen. You get the point? He sends them away. He takes the father and the mother of the damsel. That tells you the father and the mother, at least, they were doing what he came to do. And then they that were with him, that was his disciples. You get the point? And entered in where the damsel was lying. Okay, in verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talita kumi. And that was it. And what I want to show you is, you see skill in healing. It's not to come down and say, oh, and I'll be laughing. Watch what God will do. He'll be praying. They'll be whispering. They'll be talking. They'll say, oh, Nayadesh. Sometimes, if you don't understand what I say, just leave it. Amen. Hallelujah. See, don't say like so to you. Arise. Have you ever gone to pray for somebody and don't believe killed what you are doing? Don't believe in the environment. Allah is just looking at you.
as the.
You know, there was a meeting I watched. I watched Brother Hagin. That meeting, I told you guys that he was praying, that he was giving tongues, and he called the son to be giving interpretation and all that. What the second case was, he prayed. There was a sick person that came out. He prayed for the guy. Prayed. The person didn't get well. And then he switched into tongues. And then the son came up and then gave interpretation and said, well, what dad is saying is that actually he gave one or two reasons why this person was not going to get healed by his hands. And I said there was need for a corporate anointing, kind of. So he invited one or two ministers and they came and laid hands on the person. The person got well immediately. That's skill. I didn't get the point. So as you begin to get better with the things of the Spirit, you learn that, you know, for some reasons which we can explain and some others which you cannot explain, some things just happen some ways. And you must be skillful enough to know, look at what must happen or must not happen. For instance, as you get better with the flow, you find out that most cases of deafness and dumbness are demonic. Most cases of deafness and dumbness are demonic. And I experienced this once in a meeting. You know, I don't have failures with case of death, but in this particular case, I prayed. It's not me to pray. And normally, you know, when you grow so much, I'm so confident, I just touched. Open in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you hear me? He said, no. I did it again. He said, no. So I just paced around, and the Holy Ghost said, that's a demonic case. I didn't get a point. So, of course, I just knew what to do. I got straight, held the hand, in the name of just thou, vow spirit. Because, you know, when you're praying for a crippled leg to walk, for instance, you are talking to the leg, right? And the leg has to respond to what you say. You get what I'm saying? But when there is a demon holding down the leg wants to respond. But because there's an external influence, you must first cast out the demon before you talk to the leg. And that was the case that day. So I cast out the spirit and then I said, okay, yeah, open, and that was just it. But that's getting better with the flow. Normally, another person would have said, it didn't work. And just step out. Amen. It didn't work. So we find out as you get better, you will become more skillful in handling some of these things. And there are many, many stories I could tell you. For instance, the story I told you about when during the retreat, about when there was this demon case. The money case that was affecting more than 7 persons in a meeting. Remember? Where they would start beating up everybody. Remember that story? And that they lined all of them up in the program. You see, few things happened that day. One, that crusade was impromptu. What I mean is, we didn't plan it that big. It was just mission, normal mission, just 1 week mission in a place. But then, because of the miracle that happened in the morning, the program was bigger. So I was even wondering how I was going to use my voice to control them. Can you see? And so, well, this may help you. So, when that stuff started, I went with 2 people, I told you. One of them is Pastor Joy. The other 2 held their hands behind. They were now praying. I heard one of the other girl I was with shout, because things became a bit embarrassing. They were just running up and down. She was now shouting, where is our God? I said, if I hear your voice again, gonna cut you off. Keep quiet. Let her send it of this place. So she kept quiet. So I find out what normally you would have started doing is let your hands get and start praying. Even though that's not what that. So what did I say? Tie them up. Now I'll tell you why I said that. I said tie all of them up and lock them up there, close to the program thing. Now, what demons we respond to is the word of God. You know, right? And then in that situation, if I don't create an avenue for me to speak to them, to hear the word of God, there was no microphone. If there was a microphone, you get what I could roar from where I was. Down, foul spirit! But you know, these guys have scattered. Some people were as far as the main road, others were. It was a crazy meeting. So I said, for sure, all of them, tie all of them up, keep them at the spot. So they kept them. I started preaching. I preached after preaching. Remember I told you, after preaching, I said every demonic, I just gave some words. I said untie all of them, let them come out. They came out like gentle born again people, lined up in front. I started preaching the Holy Ghost to them, and that was just wisdom in handling the things of the Spirit. I get to the point. We could have been there trying to sweat before you know we carry cane, our flogging all of them in the name of Jesus. Come out of them! Can you come from my program to disrupt my meeting? Hallelujah! So you get better. So quickly, how do I grow myself in the anointing? Number one, have faith in the written word. Number one, you must develop faith in the written word. In what I mean written word, I mean God's word. You see, and this comes by constant reading and consistently staying on the word. You know, if you know, you need a lot of, you need to totally believe the word of God. And like I told you at the retreat, that will not come by you just saying, okay, I believe the word of God. No, you must believe the word of God. You know, we say the word is our bias. And you must not just, it shouldn't just be a statement. It should be you. I totally believe the word of God. If the Bible said this, I'm going to take it, and that's final. And that's not going to happen automatically. That will happen by you constantly reading, listening, staying, meditating on God over time. You get the point? Constantly acting on the word. I tell you something. I believe I'm going to God. I believe I'm going to Christ in heavenly places. You say, how are you sure? The word of God said so. You must believe. You must begin to believe, because people normally say, well, you see, I'll give an example. If you don't believe the written word, how can you believe the word that you hear in your spirit, man? You can't even believe the one that is written in the Bible. How can you believe the one that is talking in your ear that you're not even sure what it's talking, whether it's your mind that is your spirit talking? You must train yourself to start believing every single thing the written word says. For instance, you know, I was telling you guys a story of Archbishop Benson in the Hosa. You know that story? Archbishop Benson in the Hosa. The Archbishop, the only Archbishop that has ever lived. Archbishop. Anytime you see me, hear me preaching and talk about the Archbishop, don't ask me who, there are not two. There's only one. The Archbishop, when he was 20 something, young guy, he heard his pastor preach. He said, Jesus raised the dead. Jesus can raise the dead. He heard it, and then he went to meet the pastor after service and said, Pastor, you said Jesus can raise the dead. He said, yes. He asked the pastor, have you done it? The pastor said, no. He asked the pastor, can I do it? The pastor said, yes. And that's this statement. It shows you someone that, but I had to appreciate the pastor a little. Amen. That's a good one. It's not, if it's a pastor that is not well taught, he'll say, well, I've not done it too. And you have to grow in this thing. He said, you can do it. And the Archbishop carried his bicycle. And he went from house to house. It was a crazy move. Hello, how are you guys doing? I'm fine. He said, did anybody die here? Get back. They say, God forbid. Is it your house that somebody will die? He left the next compound. Study a life story in Benin City there. He went from place to place. And he got into a place. That, I'm trying to show you something. He got into a place and he saw a young girl had died. Get the book, Fire in My Bones, at Chopin's in the house. He said, did anybody die here? He said, yes. He just came in and he entered into the place carrying his Bible. And then he commanded the girl to come back to life. The girl did not come back. He commanded the girl. He did not come back. He opened the Bible. This place I showed you in Mark 5. And read what the Bible said. And Jesus drove everybody out. He said, hey, everybody out. He took it, step everything he saw. And that's stupid, but that's childish faith. And that's the kind of faith that works miracles. You know how children believe their father? My dad is going to buy me a aeroplane. Why will your dad buy? Your dad, you guys have not eaten for the past 2 days. Because daddy said, and you see when the daddy is coming back, he's so excited, daddy is going to buy me a aeroplane. And you know the funny thing, when the daddy comes back with a small toy, he believes my dad got me a aeroplane. Children can be children. And that's what he said, immediately he saw that, he said, okay, drop it, and now, ladies and I said, Talita, so him, just said, what's her name? They told him, he said, daughter, I sent you, arise. The lady checked back to life. And that was the beginning of one of the biggest ministries Africa ever knew, the world ever knew. Because a man dared to just take the written word, hook, line, and sinker. This one is not rhema word in his spirit, man. Get the point? It's not like God dropped something in his hand. This one is just saw in the Bible. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you can begin to train yourself to believe the word of God for what it says, you started growing yourself in the anointing. And that's one thing that you know, one of the ways I've told this a couple of times that I began to grow in the miraculous and the healing anointing was after seeing it happen in one meeting. I carried my Bible, I wrote down everywhere. I've told this story. Everywhere the word healed, healing, healed appeared in the Bible. 400 times. Not with my phone, with big Bible concordance, with my pen. I beg. For more than 3 weeks, I was studying the verses one by one. But by the time I was done, I had developed so much confidence in the healing power of God. You know, when you are done with that kind of thing, you are looking for the devil to heal. But if I, you know, and the reason is, you can train, you, some of us just run, you want to train yourself in, I just hear God said, go. The written word. Read the Bible and believe the Bible for what it says. I tell you something, when you see the sick, pray for the sick. Why? The Bible said, lay hands on the sick. Talking like that, Bishop now. Lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible said. You know, the Bible tells you, it said, this sign shall follow that I believe. And I believe. Come on, do you believe? This sign shall follow that I believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. They shall cast out devils. If they drink any deadly thing. And this was the scripture I came across that made me take the first poison I took in my life. I went to mission work and I knew something had happened. I got it, you know, I got it in my spirit. Man said, hey, put something here and this food. And before my leader then could tap me to say, I ate it. And because the Bible said, they shall drink the little, shall not hurt them. And I ate it. I'm telling you, I was not up to 2 years. That's what sometimes say, it's good to believe God like a child. I was not even up to 1 month as a believer. Was the youngest Christian you could think of. But like the Bible said, drink that. I said, I drank it. I ate it. You know, it was after 2 hours when we ran up the mission work that the guy came up, walked up to me. I said, do you know that day you came to our house? Do you know we put something there? Wanted to try you people. I saw in you. He said, why did you take it? I said, because they shall drink deadly things. It shall not hurt them. And the guy got saved. Get one. God saved. God filled with the Holy Ghost. He just asked, I'm not saying you can't be trying that all over the place. Because there was another case in that same mission field that immediately they brought it, I already knew something was here. And you see, that was a terrible community though. I already knew something was here in this food. I knew, I got it, our leader of the team, she got it, another person got it in the team. So I was now thinking of how to communicate to my leader. See, let's not eat this thing, no. And the other person was thinking, and then she got it too. She now told the man, okay, Oga, can you see, let's be done. When we go home, when we are done, we'll now eat. So I said, thank God. So immediately we just finished talking. She said, let's carry it home. Immediately we entered the car. She said, see, we're not eating this thing. No. I said, I know. Thank God. So I'm not saying you should be stupid. Praise God. I'm saying you should come to a point where you have that kind of rugged faith in the word of God. That when the Bible says this, that is how it is. And when you have that kind of faith, you know, I told you guys, I've done some great things with faith. I fell down, had an accident one day. And I, you know, that scripture itself was not even talking about, it was talking about Jesus and when he died and rose again. Bible said that on the cross, none of his bones were broken. But you see, when I fell down, I heard that scripture in my head, none of his bones shall be broken. And I announced it. I started shouting, none of his bones shall be broken. And they took me, I go to the hospital. The guy said, let's walk on your leg. I said, none of his bones shall be broken. I was talking to him. He said, amen, amen. But let's check. I said, see, none of his bones shall be broken. I said, don't check my leg. You just dress the wound, let me go. And you must come to a point where you take the written word critically. I love the word of God. And I believe the word of God. I don't know about you. I believe the word for what it says. You get the point? And you find out, so you grow yourself. And one of the things this will do to you, and this is a very important thing. When you learn to believe the word of God, it will produce, after, say you have faith in the word, but then it will produce faith in yourself. In yourself, in Christ. How do I put it now? Believing the word of God and acting on the word. Remember, I'm saying when you believe the word of God, you act on the word. When you believe the word of God and act on the word consistently, you will have faith in yourself, in God. You know, people don't walk in power. Listen. Not because they do not believe God. They don't believe in themselves. In God. They believe that God can raise the dead. But once I call Pastor Henry that he comes here, God will raise this person. So you find out they're not doubting God. They just don't believe in themselves, in God. Or they don't believe in the God that is in them. So they believe in the God that is in their G.O. But not the God that is at work in them. But when you begin to practice, learn the word and act on the word, you begin to grow in confidence in the God that is at work in you. Many of us, what we lack is not faith in God. I don't even know about anybody that lacks faith in God. Most people, what they lack is faith in what God can do through them. They believe in what God can do. They don't believe in what God can do through them. And when you begin to practice the word consistently, as in learn the word and practice it, your faith in what God can accomplish through you will begin to get stronger.
So you can see that Peter had. He said, "What I have, I give unto you in the name of Jesus."
You know, there are some men. I was talking about the Archbishop. I can't talk about power and the anointing. I was talking about the Archbishop. You heard of the whole story. Not this witchcraft meeting they said wanted to have in UNN. Believers are just making noise. That was not a witchcraft meeting. That thing was just a simple seminar presentation. Seminar paper. If you fasted and prayed for that thing, I'm ashamed to be your pastor. You know, but that thing is nonsense. That was nothing. It's a normal seminar paper. You get the point. If it had another ulterior motive, I don't think he did.
But this was a clear case. Witches in Nigeria said they wanted to hold a witchcraft conference in Benin City. The meeting of all the witches. White witches, black witches, red witches. I'm not just calling colors. There are white witches, you know, right? There are red and black witches all over the place. And they said they were coming to Benin to host a conference. And the Archbishop said that the conference will not hold. He announced in his church. He said, tell them the meeting will not hold. So they asked him, are you trying to say that Jesus to stop them? He said, no. Jesus doesn't need to stop them. I'm here. He said, Jesus will not stop them. I'm here. Why? Don't bother Jesus. He said, it's that confidence. And they called them on national TV. National TV, they called him and called the leader of the witchcraft, whatever. And witchcraft guy said the meeting must hold. Archbishop said the meeting will not hold. He said the meeting, he started quoting from all the seven books of Moses, quoting from the Old Testament, how witchcraft is this, and after talking. And Archbishop looked at him and said, well, there's only one thing I know. The Bible tells me, suffer not the witch to live. He looked at him and said, if you say you are a witch, you will die here. Are you a witch? The guy said, no. He said, I'm not a witch. The Bible said, suffer. You know that when you see that kind of confidence, you serve with fear. He said, the Bible said, suffer not a witch to live. He said, all I know is, that's what my Bible said. If you say you're a witch, you die here now. Are you a witch? I said, no. Born again Christian like me. Well, let me do that. You see, confidence in himself. I believe this will happen.
Amen. Don't go and start killing witches. Amen. Just get the point of the story. Don't go and start looking for a witch to kill.
But the point is, he stopped that meeting. He stopped that meeting. That meeting did not hold. He said, that meeting. He said, once I'm in Benin City, it will not hold. It will not hold. And what I'm trying to tell you is, when you begin to practice the word, I want to give you an assignment. From this, we begin to learn. Just go on the written word. Learn it. Stay on it. Meditate. Begin to practice it. Act on it. You are training yourself to grow. One of the things that are growing in you is confidence in yourself in Christ. That's why you see us make some declarations and say, this will not happen. And that will be it. You see, where is that kind of confidence coming from? Train yourself on the written word. I was talking to Reverend recently. Somebody was complaining about how he wrote an exam and he called him and said, see, I messed up. Say what? Say I messed up. Like I mixed up the answers. Don't go mess up the exam. But he said I mixed up all the answers. I messed up. So after talking to Reverend, I'm talking. Reverend said, he said, you know, see when the anointing comes. You know what Pastor Chris that said? Sometimes I come into a meeting, it's like this thing wears me like a clothes. It happens. It's spirit upon. You just feel. So he said, Reverend said he was just sitting. Like, he just said that. He said the way you made mistake and wrote it, they will make mistake and back you right. He said, no matter how many people that mark it, they will mark you right. Now that's a crazy declaration. He said, how is he sure? But they, all of them, they gave him, he got it. He called and said, sir, just like that, I got it. And that's it. We've had a case here in this same church where someone went to write jams. Went to write jam, he went to write jam and then started the jam. I think it was number 30 or so of biology, the first course he was writing, the system went off. They tried to do everything till evening, the system didn't come up, so they missed the exam. So he came to me and said, see, you will pass. And he passed. And gained admission with that result. Some things are just like that. For no reason. And it's the anointing. He said, well, that kind of declaration of confidence is coming from somewhere. The point is coming from somewhere. You just speak. And despite dwelling on the written word. You see, now I'm telling you, when I talk to you, I'm not advising you. I'm not encouraging you. Last time I told somebody, I said, if I tell you it is well, it's not an encouragement. It's a fact. It is well. And it just has to be well. He says, so why are you so sure? Why won't I be sure? If the Bible said it, I believe it. Oh, the Bible said, let him that speaks speak like an oracle of God. Get the point? When you talk with so much confidence. And it's not fake confidence. It's not confidence. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not confidence you are faking. Let me just talk and do like I believe. Okay? If you don't believe, you don't believe. Spend time on the written word. That you believe the word so much. And I was talking to you during the retreat. That when you read the Bible, that the Bible said he rained down manna for them from heaven. He said, well, I believe this can happen. You come to that point. It's not where you say, well, Old Testament. Mm-mm. When you believe the word of God like that, and I would like you to begin to train yourself in the word. Begin to expose yourself to the written word. This, I'm trying to show you one of the strongest ways to grow yourself in the anointing of God. Even what you call the word of knowledge or something. Why would I be sure that when I hear a name in my spirit that is correct? Because I've learned that the Bible said that there is something like that. Jesus saw Nathanael. He said, I don't see you under the tree. You know, that was crazy. And I saw it in the Bible, and I've also read in the Bible where the Bible said, and you are complete in him. And because of that, when I hear something in my spirit, man, I'm going to say it. You say, how do you get to that? Just continue. Meditate on the word for long. It will enter every part of your bones and your marrows and your joints. You will so believe it. So first of all, I say, train yourself in the word. Faith in the written word. Faith in the written word. Of course, the second way to grow in the anointing, which I'm already steering in you, is desire. You know, I see a lot of cold believers who don't give a damn about the supernatural. That's how your life will be. You never give a damn about anything. You don't care about the supernatural. You must desire. You know, if you listen to me for some time now, you should know that one of the things that characterized my spiritual growth was that I like power. I desire the supernatural. Any place I see it. The only thing that was that God helped me and they sent me to the world. That's why I didn't get into diabolism and sorts. Even when some people came to make an offer to me, say, see, let's go and wash your eyes so that you'll be seeing. I said, I don't want to see. Keep your water to yourself. Wash your own eye. You get the point. But I love the supernatural. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, he said, covet earnestly the best gift. And I love such words. He said, covet earnestly. Desire strongly to flow in what the best gifts of the Spirit. So you can desire to flow in it. And I've taught you that the best gift is, when I say covet earnestly, it's not covet to possess it. You already have it, right? But you can desire to flow in them. And I'm not saying much about it because I want to steer desire in you. You must be a person that loves the supernatural. You shouldn't be found despising it. Love it. You know, somebody was saying something, a man of God said something on Facebook today, and he really ministered to me a great deal. He said, make sure, he said, I hope you have not used exegesis to explain yourself out of the power of God. You get the point? And all you know is now talk. And I said, and all you do is pay lip service to it. Oh, I have power. Oh, I have power. Nothing. Because I'm trying to explain. Power there is exousia. It's not dunamis. See, desire the supernatural so much. I know, I last week some of you talked to me. He said that this year I want to raise the dead. That is how to talk. I get the point. That's how to, this year I want to raise the dead. This year I want to open blind eyes. This year I want to be able to flow in the world of knowledge. This year I want to flow in visions and design of spirit so much. Have such things, desire it. It's not a bad thing. Is it a bad thing for a child to desire to walk or to talk? This is our normal. You get the point? It's our normal. It's normal to do those things. And so you should desire it. And that's one of the things that should characterize your spiritual life should be, I desire the supernatural. I don't know about you, but I desire it. If the Bible said it has been given to me, why won't I flow in it? If Jesus said it's mine, why won't I have it? Jesus said it's mine. Jesus said, man, I'm going to tell you the truth. Don't, you know, I've told you, when I was talking to you about school of faith, I said, fight average. Even when you come to spiritual flow, fight average. Everything that is supernatural, I'm going to flow in it. Everything that is supernatural, I'm going to flow in it. I saw short legs grow. I say, if I grow this one, let me somersault and die. I grew short legs too. I'm telling you, everything that is supernatural, it is mine. You understand it? Do you understand that verse? He said, and you are complete in him, the head of all principalities. And if I, so if it is mine, I'm going to flow in it. As one would say, I will not settle for less. That should really be you. That should really be you. Don't settle for less in the supernatural. Desire to flow in it. I was inspired a lot by that bishop. And that's why when I tell some things, I just know. That bishop was in a meeting. They were having a meeting then and then. You know, if I tell the story and you don't believe it, get out of my church. Amen. Do you know what I say? If I tell the story now, you don't believe it, get out of my church. You know what? It means you are the problem we have here. Easy, let me tell you something. I know that the power of that there is fake whatever out there. But there are men tested and trusted. I get the point. You must, I love the power of God. Get the point. So he was doing that meeting, and a guy was, he said, a lady was on the balcony. On the gallery rather, shouting, yeah, yeah, and fell down. And fell down and broke her head and died. And the meeting went wild. Broke her head. You know, I heard this story from a man of God. He said the head opened. He said, they started shouting. That bishop said, what? They told him, he said, bring her up to the podium. And they brought her up to the podium. And she laid down. And he continued preaching. He didn't move. He was just preaching. You know, people were very uncomfortable. There is a dead person behind you. He was just preaching. After preaching, he prayed for the sick and all that and wanted to go. They told him, sir. He said, oh, it's now time to raise the dead. In Delhi, he made that statement. He turned and looked at the girl and commanded the girl. People that were there said the head closed back. The head that was there closed back. And the girl came back to life. And that is the power of God. And I tell you, in our days, we will see those moves. They didn't respire. In our days, we will see those moves. And in your ministry, you will see them. Begin to desire those things. Begin to desire those things. I was there supernaturally. You must desire to do things with the supernatural. I love the power of God. Oh, I love the power of God. The truth is that this power can do exceedingly, abundantly all you think. It can exceed my imagination. It can. We've seen the power of God create wombs where there was none. Where a lady will have an abortion, they will remove her womb. With legs on the tummy, the womb will appear, she will carry a baby. I woke up with this morning. I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? I woke up with it this morning. Nothing is too hard for God to do. And I want to say that to you. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too hard. Sit down for a moment. Just sit down. Sit down for a moment. Nothing is too hard for God to do. Nothing is too hard. And I want to say that desire. You don't settle for less. God can do all things. And you must desire. If it is doable, I will do it. If God said I can, I can. Say this to me, say I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. Now that's one. Then, of course, the second one. The third thing I'm going to say to grow yourself in the anointing is that you should be more conscious of the anointing. Now, you know, I told you that when you begin to grow in the anointing, one of the signs is that you'll be more conscious. And I'm saying, as a way to grow the anointing, deliberately become conscious of the anointing that is at work in you. And of course, I'll tell you the easiest way this will happen is by prayer, much prayer. Now, let me explain prayer briefly, please. And I've said this a couple of times. You see, prayer is not what you do after you listen to prayer first. Do you get the point? Prayer is what you do consistently. People have asked me a question, you know, you hardly put up all this 13 hours prayer, 20 hours prayer. I believe in those things. I do. But let me say this to you. Those things will be very useless if you do them and don't pray again tomorrow. It is better you are praying for an hour consistently every day in the next 6 months than that you bring out 28 hours and pray and that. You don't stop prayers. Did you get what I said? You don't store, you don't. I've prayed. You know, when we were young, they tell us to bless food. Hallelujah. I used to bless the food I've eaten. The one, as soon as you started eating, before you now remember that you did not pray for the food. I said, Father, I bless this food. The one I've eaten, the one I'll still eat, the one I'll eat in the afternoon, the one I'll eat at night. I'm telling you, did you try that mischievous stuff? You bless everything. At the time, I wanted to write out the prayer for food and paste it on the wall. That when I want it, I'll say, Father, you see that stuff there? Do it. You don't stop prayers. You don't pray as I'm praying in. You can pray prayer in advance. But you see, you must maintain a fervent prayer life. And a conscious prayer life makes you very conscious of that. Have you noticed that? That's what we teach fasting. Have you noticed when you fast and pray? Whenever you're fasting and praying over a long period of time, you are so conscious of the power at work in you. That's what in fasting does. Fasting raises consciousness. You are so conscious of the fact that, you know, some of you, you notice that there is a case around you. Maybe somebody just falls sick. You start running around. It's when they've taken the person to the hospital that something just tells you, you could have prayed for that brother. Does it happen to you? You are not conscious of the power at work in you. It just comes to you after. But when you give yourself so much praying, you know, I told you the anointing responds to needs. So when the thing is just, the thing will just respond. So you must build yourself to be more conscious of the power of God. And how it happens by much praying. That's what I'm going to ask you to give yourself prayer. One of the things that we're going to do this year, and from next week, we're going to have prayer groups. Everybody will be part of a prayer groups. Prayer groups of threes and four, five, three. And you are going to build it in a way that everybody, except you don't want, everybody will be praying. We want to use it to build a consistent, where everybody just has a consistent daily prayer life of at least an hour every day. You get the point? Though your prayer partners in your group, they will monitor you. You get the point? They will help you pray. Occasionally, you guys can say, let's meet at so-so place and pray. Do you like that? Go and do it. Let's meet at so-so place and pray. Let's come here and pray. And then you guys can even, three or four of you can create a WhatsApp group for yourself where you can be dropping words when you are done praying every day. Just to make sure that we are all praying. I get the point. Because when you know, one thing you find in the life of Jesus was the guy who had a prayer life. You know, Jesus, he had a prayer life. I'm telling you, every morning, long before day, he has gone. And he just comes out. He just come out, you know. And when you see those power moving, you see, prayer makes you very conscious of the power of God that's at work in you. Many of us are too cold. And that coldness is because we don't pray. Even when you hear things about the supernatural, it doesn't gyrate something in your body. It should gyrate something in your body. I don't know about you, but there are some testimonies I hear. I used to shift my kidney one side. And that's that, because I just know, I love the power of God. That is just here. You know, there was a meeting I attended. The man of God finished preaching. I couldn't pray. I went outside. You know, you won't believe I did this. You know, some of you that know, I know St. Cyprian's Chapel, then they were building something there. There was, they heaped sand at the back. I went there, I fell on the sand, I would put my head on the sand. You know, wait, I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know whether to start. I felt like killing myself. And I told God, see, you see this thing is our realm. We will do it. We will do it. And I don't, you know, when I read about the lives of Apostle Babalola, that young man, as young as he was, you see power clearly demonstrated among men that didn't have much light. Among people that didn't have much scriptural light. Get the point? And you see some of those things. And they even misuse the power sometimes. Because they didn't have light. But they had it. You understand? They were conscious of the fact that it was there. I was there. You get the point? Read of Reinhard Bonnke, read of T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne, cleansing lepers was a normal thing. You go to India, you see lepers, leprosy cleared. And some of these things will still desire in you. And one thing you note was a prayer life. I told you about the prayer life of, what's the name of this guy? Of Finne, Charles Finne. Get the point? Clear prayer life, 5 to 8 every morning. Every morning. That was consistent. that will make you so conscious of them. And you know, when you're so conscious of the supernatural around you, people around you will start affecting them. That's totally, I tell you, Phineas will enter a meeting. No, enter a place to buy something. And I'm not telling you, go and read about Charles Phineas. He'll enter a place to buy something. He once entered a place, just stood there and said, greeted them. The first person before him started crying. They're crying. He said, I want to surrender to the Lord. Before you know, if he didn't say a word, he was so conscious of what he was carrying. Everybody around said, he said, sir, can that thing happen? Yes. The power of God can move through you. And sometimes when you've prayed so much, you've spoken words ahead of time. That when you see with someone, you know that particular girl I was telling you guys that were trying to deliver some time ago and she will vomit egg. You know those, that's what I was telling you guys. How did we meet that girl? We were in a meeting. We were just guys, ministers, we were just sitting discussing. And she sat, it was in a wake keep kind of. She sat around, she sat there for a turn and stood up and said she wanted to go. I said, no, don't let that girl go. She said, I can't stay here. I said, why can't you stay here? You know, she said something, she said, I can't stay here. You know, when you yourself too much prayer, you're so conscious that something is at work in you. And it will begin to affect your environment. Oga, pray this year. And if this prayer group will help you pray, maximize it. Are you getting the point? Maximize it. We're going to create, I'm telling this for the ministers to take notes. They should sit down and get us that list of at least 3 people in a group. Get the point? Everybody should be giving to prayer. And when we put you in a group, maximize it. And we're going to make it in a way that it's people that are around you. And you guys don't have to be meeting every day to pray. No. But you guys, you have a way of being sure that you people pray. You get the point? Being sure. And then once in a week or so, you can fix prayer vigils for yourself. Let's just come and pray. Let's just pray.
Prayer is good though.
It makes you more conscious of the supernatural. It makes you more conscious. 2 more things I want to pray. More use. That's the next thing that will help you grow in the anointing. More use. I talked about mastery last Sunday, remember? And mastery comes by consistent use. You master the things of the spirit when you use them over time. Like some of the stories I'm telling you that Jesus will now touch sand and I will now know that what I have to do. Some of those is because I've been doing it over time. I'll just know that, you know, some of you that, you know, okay, we have a doctor here, some of you are medical students. You find out that when you practice medicine for a very long time, sometimes when you see a case, you remember, I've seen this case somewhere. You get the point? I've seen this case somewhere. And when I saw this case, okay. And why? Because that's why you notice that doctors, for the employee, they always want you to have years of experience. And that's why after you go to school, they say, you can't do your internship. I mean, housemanship. That's what they call it, right? So that you can get exposed. So you find out when you continue doing whatever, a surgery that took you 5 hours to do now, next time, over time, you don't know what to do. In fact, when a trouble arises from the surgery, you can tell why it happened. And it's because you've been doing it over time. And that's the supernatural. Many of us are so inconsistent with our flow with the supernatural. And that's why, even as simple as tongues, a full day will pass. You can't remember speaking in tongues. How do you used to survive? How do you used to survive? A full day will pass. You've not spoken in tongues. Let me tell you. Have some daily routines. A daily routine, 1 is studying the Bible. Daily routine, 2 is praying. Daily routine, 3 is preaching the word to someone. Daily routine, 4 is trying out something in the supernatural. This should be your daily routine every day. Think about it, every day. Every day. That's why I keep saying this. Do you know you should start visiting hospitals to go and pray for the sick? If I've gotten that lead in here, let me see your hand. Gotten that lead. Start doing it though. Stop pushing to the future. Set a particular day in the week. If you are not confident alone to go and tell them what to pray for, you go with someone. Share with someone. You saw hands that went up. Locate one of them that are interested too. Say, let us go. By that consistent thing, you will begin to see something by use. By use. Consistently. Paul said to Timothy, he said, exercise yourself unto godliness. That encouraged me. Exercise yourself unto godliness. And the way I had to explain is literally, you know, don't take it too hard. I just did it literally. You know, exercise, you have to wake up every morning, you run every day. There are things you should take as a daily exercise, daily routine. Get the point? I do power every day. You get the point. I do power every day. I seek for opportunities to manifest the power of God. I can't do it in my room. I step out. And let me say this to you. You notice personally why it looks like I'm going to be more proficient in the things of the Spirit than you are. It's because I'm a pastor. I stand here every day. I stand here every Thursday. Every Thursday I have opportunities to minister the power of God. You get the point? Every Sunday, as I keep doing it, I'll keep getting better at it. You must create opportunities for yourself too. That's why we call for missions. Come out. When we say it's for evangelism, come out. In your group, come out. Let's step out. Don't worry, pray for people. And you see, let me tell you something. And I'm not saying this thing to provoke competition in you. You see, you better start practicing everything you have been taught now. If not, years from now, you'll be seeing people you started this thing with. They've started flexing the supernatural. I'm telling you the truth. Never forget that the life of Archbishop grew up with some people in the same church. Always think about it. That Pastor Chris Oyakhilome had co-church members when he was growing up. How did they grow to become that proficient? Because some of these teachings, they took it serious from now. And your pastor too had people I grew up with. A lot of them will grow up with it. Unserious. If I look at you, I can tell whether you will go for or not in the supernatural. I know people I begged, let's go pray for the sick. They say, we don't want to do it. I say, let us fast. They say, we don't want. I say, see, I can tell how far you will go. He say, are you a God? Are you God? No, I'm not God. I'm just a human being. Who can tell you the kind of soup you want to make by looking at the ingredients you bought? As simple as that. You buy a egusi soup, you're going to egusi stuff. You're going to make a egusi soup. If you're a careless person with the gift of the Spirit now, that's how your life will be. And tomorrow you carry your child running from one prayer house to another, trying to cast out ordinary tuberculosis. They say coronavirus, let it come. It's, let me tell you, we will lay hands and things will happen by the anointing. You get the point? I'm not praying for it to come, but you know, if because people are, you know, Nigerians, we travel a lot. Somebody just go to Cote d'Ivoire. I heard they have reached Cote d'Ivoire now. Somebody now carry it and enter this place. And fear everywhere. And I told you, know, the anointing response to use. At every breakout of every nonsense is an opportunity for the anointing to gain expression. That's what I've noticed. Every time something breaks out, somebody shines with it. First time Ebola broke out, Jonjile used it to blow. He said we'll be burying people. Dr. Lake. Hallelujah. But I'm saying more use. Now, I'm talking about healing today. A lot of other things. Word of knowledge. You know, I told you, you flow in the Spirit by faith in yourself in God. Next time you're sitting on the bus, you just sense something. Talk to that brother. The more you continue taking, that's why you are here. Talk to that brother. Step out. Go for evangelism. After preaching, tell that sister, I don't know, sir. That's how you always start, because you are growing. I don't know, sir. But I don't know. Is there anybody? You know, that's how it's that. You say, I don't really know, sir. But yeah, it's not clear. But is there anybody that you know? Person will say, yes. You now go further. Is there dare to do those things by constant use? By the end of this year, you would have special. You know, I was talking to you about Father. We can specialize in this thing. You can specialize in one thing so much that you are known for it. Let's talk about getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, for instance. Some people, it's now their norm. They can just, you know, that people where you can specialize in this thing, they can just say, pray in the Holy Ghost. It just comes by special use. The lady that called me filled with the Holy Ghost, anointed woman of God, is her specialty. I leave that one to her. She'll just stand on it and she'll also stress herself. He said, you know, so much in this place, there is a power of God. Yeah, you know her, yes. The power of God is just so much in this place. I'm going to count seven. And then you go speaking in tongues. And then before your two koro eyes. It's just that easy. At that time I say, this woman used to pray. Is that how you used to do your own? You just say, yeah, yes, that's the power of God. And people just, all of us. Sometimes in one meeting, you see 300 people get to the Holy Ghost at a go. 500 persons, 1,000 persons. 2,000 people in one meeting, just like that. And then you say, how? That is her. And you start reading her stories. She started this thing from school days.
Federal Government College Secondary School. So you have to start practicing some of these things. You get the point? And not once, not after this message now. Then I say, ah, Papa, you just teared me. I will show the devil. No. Let it be a constant thing. Remember, the anointing responds to needs. Wherever you see a need, let the anointing cry out. Whenever you see a need, release the anointing. Whenever you see a need, you see somebody tell you that this just happened, just release the anointing. And, you know, gradually begin to get confidence. Somebody was testifying yesterday, one of us, you know, he's all these UNN students and their hostel wahala. Amen. And she wanted a hostel by all means. And, you know, she didn't just want it. She wanted a hostel and she wanted one party. I don't know what they call it in UNN. You see, they call it, they say it's one man corner. Is anything like that? There's not like that, Shay. But they're one man corner. And she told me, I said, you will get it how you want it. And then, I didn't even know what it was. Now I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like. I never stayed in the hostel all my school days. But I know she told me she got it. Amen. I don't know. I don't know why. But then, you know, when I said that in, I told you, when I don't encourage you when I tell you things. I'm telling you what will be. And when I say it, I know it has accomplished something. And you can begin to practice that. You see a need, give a word. Start practicing the supernatural from today. Start practicing and be more consistent with it. Every day, in a routine, begin to practice supernatural. In a routine, every morning, I'll do this. Every week, okay, sister, let's go to the hospital every Saturday or every Sunday evening. Have that kind of routine. Have that kind of routine. Have it. Nothing will go wrong. Have it. Practice it until and that's how I grew. After I wrote out that healing healed, whatever I told you, after studying for a very long time, I started going to hospitals every Saturday to pray for the sick. Every Saturday. Every Saturday. That was my date. Every Saturday. I will step out. And that's really helped me a lot. Today, I don't have all the time now to start going to hospital every Saturday. You see, but now I need all those, I need everything, the whole anointing, whatever, to always be in operation. But I've trained myself for it. I can train myself for it. And the more, and I have to keep doing it too. And I always do. Get up, and I always see every opportunity to express the power of God. Anytime you see me, sometimes sitting down here after service, we are releasing power. What is it? It's done. What is it? It's done. And so much confidence, I know that this is going to work. And you can grow yourself in any anointing one just by use. Because it's actually living inside of you. You get the point? It's living inside of you. It's just like a child. You know how you train a child to walk? I've told you this before, right? Train a child to walk. The mom will now hold something and say, come and take it. You know, the child will now walk and forth. They lift. So by that consistent attempt, she will be walking. One day she can now run. And one day in the future, she would give birth and start doing another person. Come and take. That's the level you need to get to. When you begin to flow into the spirit, you can begin to nurture others and train them to do the same. And I got this for you, and I'm going to say it with confidence. You see, the kind of miracles God will wrought in your life or through you in this season will encourage others that will hear it. It will steer them to attempt the same things. It will steer them. They will hear what God is doing through you, and they will be steered. Finally, I'm going to talk about impartations as one other way to grow yourself in the anointing. Impartation will always give expression to the gift of God in us. Laying on of hands to give expression to the gift of God in us. Laying on of hands. You see, I can't overemphasize this. It's actually the truth. Can never be overemphasized. Laying on offense, we give, you know, in Romans 1 verse 11, Paul told them, he said, I look forward to coming to see you, Romans 1 11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. I long to see you, and I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end that you may be established. I want to see you so we can impart stuff. And as I've explained it, when we lay hands on you, we are not releasing any new thing into you. Now I've explained this over time. We are just giving expression to the things of God that lie inside of you. Like some of you that I prayed about, but then maybe I would not even maybe, I would not under teaching on impartation.
Because I'm going to teach you both how to receive impartation and how to maximize it. Because many of us waste impartations without knowing. You know, whenever hands are laid on you, something starts working in you. But then whether that thing will accomplish whatever, it's another business altogether. For instance, if I lay hands on you, for instance, for the healing anointing, one of the wisest things to do is to engage that thing immediately. You know what I'm saying? To engage it immediately. If not, you even lose sight of it. If you lay hands on me, every impartation, I know what happened to me. And I keep saying it. This has happened to me. And I engage it immediately. This has happened to me. So, impartations will help. I showed you many examples. The Bible tells us that Joshua, the son of Nun, that he had this spirit of wisdom. And then God said to Moses, he said, call Joshua, son of Nun, and take some of your spirit and put it upon him. And you say, how can a man have the spirit of wisdom, had spirit already? And you are saying we should take some and put on him. You know, if that wasn't talking about anything extra, that was talking about call this thing forth from inside of him. And after that, Joshua received so much wisdom, he began to walk in it. In Acts chapter 6, after hence you are laid on Stephen, Philip, and the seven of them. In verse 8, the Bible said, Stephen, a man full of power, worked great miracles before the people. That impartation of Acts 6 and verse 6 had stirred up something in him. And then he worked great miracles. So much so that he became an envy. People began to envy him. They killed him. The power was so much, they killed him. I was saying after that, verse 8, put up verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. That was part of impartation. Impartation. And I've kept training you here. You must know that by impartation, I've taught you many things impartations can do. I'm measuring on one now. I've told it can even, you can use impartation to pass your exam. You can use it to even become rich in life. But I'm measuring on one now. What I'm measuring on now is how it can call forth the gift of God in you. How it can give expressions to the anointing. How it can. You get the point? And you know, sometimes I've received some kind of impartations. Even when I'm listening to tapes, I can just lift my hands and say, This is mine. This is mine. You know, people can just get better with the flow of the spirit. You know, I told you guys a story of how a man was preaching and placed his hand on a woman. And why I'm saying this is because you find out that when it comes to the, I was talking about when you get better with this thing, and then you become so conscious of it, people around you, it will affect them. That consciousness in you. The guy was preaching, just placed his hands on a woman, and I was just talking. After some time, talked. She didn't know. After talking, just removed his hand, and after like 3 minutes, the woman shouted, "I can see." The man has been blind. You get the point. But that's a man that's surely conscious that I carry the healing anointing. You know, when you talk too much, anything I touch will be healed. Without saying it, words have gone ahead of you. And I've seen that also in Rambida's meeting. I was just preaching, just past somebody before. And I saw the meetings. That's why I see everything in church is spiritual. I'm telling you, everything in church, you must maximize church. You see, the guy said he was just sitting in front. And then he saw a vision. Where reverend came to him and touched him and he was well. But when he was sitting maybe here, okay, and then there's no way reverend could leave the person here and touch him. And for some reason, the person here just stepped out to do something. I didn't get the point. And reverend was just preaching and just went there and just touched him and passed. Not in casual touch. Two times, the guy had a pain at the kind of shoulder region. That was the end. And he was, that's why I told everything in church is spiritual. Just all the girl, casual touch. How are you? Fine. Examples we give to are spiritual. I've tried to give examples on my part a lot. I said, for instance, come now. If I lay and the person just, I said, no, I'm giving an example. You get the point? Now, what took me to all of that? You must know that by impartations. And why I'm telling you the story is that this thing opened up for Reverend in his meeting, for instance. This is what I told you. Because he said he heard the story of the other man of God. You hear the point? That when he heard it, he said, this can be ours. You see, where desire comes in.
Say, this can be ours. And I've seen that a lot in our ministry. Just to give an example, he said, I can remember that was that at Abba and Yosu. I was doing a meeting some time ago where I just said, I was trying to tell somebody to read. I think yes, it was from that one, yes. Is it Jesus the Healer also? Yes, last year. We had a projector on the screen. I said, just hey, read from there. I didn't know the guy had. I said, somebody has an eye issue. I just knew. I said, everybody read. And I just said, somebody has an eye issue. As you are trying to read now, it's clearing. And some of those things can open up to you. My point is, when you desire it and you flow in it, impartation can give expression to some of these things in you. So I can tell you, desire impartations. Desire that hands be laid on you. And maximize it when it happens. That's what I'm saying. Maximize it. It's not just about touching. If you man that recognizes, even I was talking to you last Sunday. If you're a man that recognizes the anointing of God upon your pastor, do you know I can shake her now and her life will change? I will shake you. Nothing will happen to you. It's one about me recognizing that I have an anointing on me and her recognizing that something is at work in this guy. So none of his handshake is ordinary. I didn't get the point. And so when we impart, you know that something has started. Find out what it is that came in, that was stirred up in you. Begin to speak those words over yourself and begin to act on them immediately. Maximize those impartations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maximize those impartations. Now, one of the people that have done well with impartations in recent times was when this guy started meeting here. That was Ultimate Military when they had their mission conference here. That was last year. When I came around for their commissioning service and I spoke some very strong words to them that night. Some of you that were there that night, it was an awesome meeting. Spoke some very, it was a very short time I had with them that night. I had preached in the day. I came back at night. It was a very awesome meeting that night. I spoke some very strong prophetic words over them. And they recorded it. And one of the things they said, they told me they did. I think you went for that mission. Somebody went for that mission. He said every day in the mission, they would play that day, right? Every day they will play it and begin to listen to those words and analyze them. And the kind of miracles that they had, you know, normally they say things like in missions, hunger should wire you well. But then one of the things I said that night, you can remember, I said, see, this mission, you have provisions. And I told them, I said, people that you don't even know begin to send money to you. I said, and that was what happened. They told me, he said, hunger did not wire us once in this mission. Once, and some of them are here. And it's because you can internalize some of those things. Those are impartation. And some of the things, the creative miracles we talked about, they had short aims, right? Growing that same mission. Why? Just by those words. So you can maximize the words we speak over you. And that's why I was saying to the media team the other time, even when we are done, that's why when we are done recording, for instance, for the message and you end the message, you start the recording again. When we are praying and speaking words, start it again. Some of those things are things you can hold on to. These are one of the ways to maximize impartations. You get the point? Sometimes when hands are laid on me, if I go for meetings and hands are laid on me, I see, and maybe they snapped it. I always look for that picture. I get it. I put it in my phone. Maybe I'm looking at it. I write down the words that were spoken. I am so aware. Every day I am so aware. You get the point? You can get the best out of meetings. I'm anointed. Amen? And this is my season. I'm going to express so much. And flow in the supernatural. And I know this is you this time, amen? I'm going to flow so much in the supernatural. I don't know about what these things are mine. These things are mine. They are my inheritance in Christ. They are my inheritance in Christ. I am not alien to the supernatural. Get the point? I'm at home with it. Supernatural is at home with me. I am supernatural. This is my default setting. You get the point? You must begin to realize some of these things. And we begin to apply what I've shared with you. And as you keep coming to church, gradually we'll be imparting you once in a while. These impartations can be laid on offense. They can be spoken words. We can just be talking. I say this is getting expression. Maximize them. Amen. Amen. One of the things I want to characterize your 2020, as we are almost stepping into February already, is that you flowed very well in the anointing. Not just in different specialties of the anointing. You get the point? You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You give prophetic words. You multiplied food. You called for short limbs. You spoke over things. You performed creative miracles. You know, there are some miracles that happen. One events will lead to another event, and it will be worse that because of those events will happen. I've seen such things. I'll say, go to that office. When you go, this will happen. There was one, the pastor spoke over the guy. He said, okay, well, not today. Maybe I'll talk about it on Sunday. Because I'll talk about what led to the miracle. He said, after they spoke over, the guy went to work. He was a contract staff in his office. You get the point, you know? I know their pay. Now, you know, contract staffs and their pay. And he just gave me. So he didn't even have the confidence to apply maybe to become a permanent staff. A staff, somebody that was just working with him without his consent, applied for him. From one station, it was when the whole process was over, they called him and gave him the letter. Somebody, he didn't ask, applied for him. And because words have gone forth, you get the point. Because what really led to that was that they had a project to run in church. A massive project. That's why I'm going to say this on Sunday. Whenever there is a project, whenever the Lord tells your local church to do something beyond their capacity, it's an opportunity for you to stretch beyond your capacity and even get beyond your capacity. You get the point? Because he said they had a project and he came and met the pastor and said, Pastor, you said the least we can give is this. Please, I don't have it. Can I give below this? The guy told his guys, the man said the pastor in him almost wanted to tell him, okay, just bring what you have. He said, but the Lord told him, he said, his heart is willing. Tell him to stretch his faith and believe God for it, and he will have it. And he told him, no, you will give what others are giving. Stretch your faith, believe God for it. The point. And the guy said, okay. He didn't take it like I said, I don't have money yet. He just took it. I went to the office. That event played out immediately. From that meeting, that event played out immediately. Played out, and then he got it immediately. That same year, I'm talking about 2019, that same year, 3 or 4 months after that, he got a car. As in, everything changed. You see, words can change us when we begin to believe God speaks to us through men. I know what I'm talking about. And we're speaking a lot and a lot over you this year. Believe the words. I've prayed over your last one for the healing anointing. That anointing is at work in you. It's time to step into this year and begin to maximize those things. And begin to see those flows. And see those impartations. And see those impartations. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. And see those impartations.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.